presentation of the angel to Mary. We'll read this rather quickly. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, and Luke has just told us about what happened with Elizabeth and Zechariah, that an angel had appeared to them, and Elizabeth, who was in old age, is now going to have the child that we know as John the Baptist. So in the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So I want us to kind of look at the layers of good news that we find in this story and in this passage today. First of all, good news, you don't have to be afraid. That's what the angel says to Mary. You don't be afraid, Mary. It's the favorite salutation of Scripture, at least when an angel appears. Most of us would probably need to hear that if a giant angel in shining apparel appeared in our living room or bedroom. "Don't be afraid." Right. Easy for you to say. You didn't just suddenly sneak up on somebody and appear there. But it's what the angel said to Zechariah earlier in Luke chapter 1. "Don't be afraid. Your prayers have been answered." It's what the angel said to Joseph in a dream. "Don't be afraid. Go ahead with your plans to take Mary as your wife." It's what the angel said to the shepherds. "Don't be afraid. There's good news. A Savior is born in Bethlehem." And it's what the angel said to Mary. "Don't be afraid. Fear not. The kingdom of God has come. Israel receives her king. The Gentiles receive light in the darkness. And the captives receive a liberator. Christ has come." And so the message is, don't be afraid. And the good news is both the message of the kingdom and the consequence of its coming. That there's simply no longer reason for fear. Jesus has come. We're no longer alone in the darkness groping to find our way. But Messiah has come and his presence dispels the darkness. His love drives the fear away. And it's good news for all of us. And then there's more good news. He says, "You found favor with God." Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. While Mary's circumstances were unique, there's good news for us today in terms of God's favor. We too have found that favor from the Lord. The word translated favor is the Greek word charis. It can also be translated as grace. We've experienced the grace and the favor of God. And through our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, we've become recipients of this unmerited favor, His amazing grace. And I wonder this morning if you can just begin to hear Him say it to you. "Don't be afraid, son. Don't be afraid, daughter. Don't be afraid, child of God, because you too have found favor with God." You think, well, I don't know that I've found favor. Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul says about the grace and favor of God that's been lavished upon us through Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament epistles. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing comes to us in Christ. Then he says, "He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." Before He created anything else, God in His foreknowledge and power and wisdom saw you and pictured you and designed you. He was ready to create you. He chose you. He had His heart set on you, His affection set upon you. And so He says, before He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to His will and pleasure. He talks about the glorious grace that He's freely given us in Christ. He says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. He didn't just give us a little nugget of it. It wasn't a sample. He lavished His grace upon us. He poured it out on us. It was thick. It was like, it's the way I like my cake, with a whole lot of icing on it. He lavished the icing on there. He lavished His grace upon us. That's the kind of God that we have. And He did it with wisdom and understanding. It says He's made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed for us in Christ. In Him we were chosen, we've been predestined according to the plan of the One who brings everything together in conformity with His purpose. That He makes all of this work together for us. He says we were included in Christ, and having believed, He marked us with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It points us to what is yet to come, and He says He's given you this down payment, the deposit of the Holy Spirit that's with you, that resides within you as a guarantee of what you're going to inherit someday. That's the lavish grace of God. That's the favor of God that's been shown to you. That's what Paul's talking about. And so when the angel says to Mary, there's good news, you're highly favored, you've received the favor of God, he can say it, I can say it to you today, God's favor rests upon you. God's grace and mercy has been lavished upon you, poured out upon you. His blessing, His presence makes the difference in your life. Thank God for His grace and mercy this morning. Aren't you grateful for that and for the favor of the Lord? You found God's grace. Well, then there's more good news. You found purpose in life. The angel told Mary, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. Good news, Mary. God's given you a new purpose in life. You're going to conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. You'll bring the Son of God into this world, and you'll raise him to obey the voice of God and to live a life of obedience to God's word. Could there be a more profound purpose for anyone? And the good news is God desires to give each of us a new purpose in our life. When we come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, there's a new purpose planted in our heart. We come to know Him, now we purpose in our heart. We desire to please God. We desire what God desires for us. We have a new purpose that we want to fulfill God's plan and calling upon our lives. We want to learn how to hear His voice. A new purpose and desire to obey His word. A new purpose to serve God and to serve others with our life. A new purpose to share the good news of Jesus with everyone we know. To take His light into places where it's dark. And could there be a more profound purpose for our lives than to carry out God's plan and purpose in the world? And let me say another word about God's purpose for our lives. Because I believe in each of us, God wants to birth something for His kingdom's sake and for our good as well. And as surely as He birthed His purposes through Mary in the birth of Jesus, He wants to birth His purpose through our lives. But let me warn you, the enemy will oppose anything that God desires to birth in us or through us. And as surely as Satan tried to kill Jesus through the efforts of King Herod, he'll try to kill what God wants to create and birth and initiate and accomplish through you and your life and your calling. Satan wants to kill what God is birthing in us. He wants to cause all of us to remain barren and fruitless in our spiritual lives. And if he can't do that, he wants to cause us to abort what God has conceived in us and in our spirit. He wants you to abort your dreams and your calling, to abandon your walk with God, to forget about that burden that God laid on your heart, to forget about those plans you had for serving God or serving others, to forget about those plans you had for whatever calling you felt, whether it was to be a teacher or a doctor, whatever it was. You just finally kind of went, it's too hard, and you just want to give up. And Satan wants us to commit spiritual abortion. You see, both physically and spiritually, abortion is in some sense the abandonment of the future. It's the abandonment of hope and of dreams and of possibility of what could be and might be. And so I'm telling you this morning, don't abort your purpose or your dreams. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the fear of failure, or don't give in to the fear of success. Don't give in to despair or the mistakes of the past. Don't abort what God wants to birth in and through your life. God's given you a purpose. He's gifted you with life. He's gifted you with talent and ability. He's gifted you with potential. He's put a dream in your heart. He's put a calling in your heart. He's equipped you to work for Him. Don't give up on those dreams and the plans that God put in your heart. Carry them to full term and let God birth that dream that He put in your life. I know some of us struggle. We think, well, we kind of over-spiritualize the purposes of God. And you think, well, what purpose did God have for me? You know, I can't preach or teach or sing or whatever. Well, you know what? God doesn't need a church full of preachers and singers. I mean, I appreciate Stephen not singing this morning, because I heard him singing the other night a little bit. But you know what? If you need a good psychiatrist, there's your guy right there. So, not a singer. We don't need everybody to do the same thing. I don't need a church full of preachers. I'm happy to get a preach or whatever. I need somebody to do all the other stuff. God needs people to preach, sure, but He needs people to teach school. He needs people to go into nursing and help the sick get back to health. He needs people to repair cars and stock shelves. He needs painters. He needs cooks. He needs people that know how to serve other people. He needs people to be faithful fathers and mothers. Well, God never called me to anything. You got 5 kids. He called you to be a husband and a father, a mother and a wife. Be faithful at that. Be a mentor. You want to be, well, I don't have any kids. You want to have some kids? Show up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night and volunteer. We need people to help us with kids. You can be a role model. You can be a mentor. God needs people to bring His light into the darkness wherever that darkness is found. So God has a purpose for you, whether you're working in an office or wherever you are. God has a purpose for you. Don't lose sight of that, and don't abort God's call, God's plan, God's purpose for your life. And don't let the devil cause you to lose sight of God's purpose. Volunteer. Get involved in life. Get involved in the church. Get involved in the community, and let that light shine. Good news. God's got a purpose for you in your life. And then there's more good news. There's hope for today. The angel told Mary, He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And the angel explained the good news to Mary, that there was reason for hope because her son would rule and reign on the throne of his father David. But it was more than an earthly throne or kingdom the angel Gabriel was talking about, because Jesus, the Son of the Most High, has ascended not simply to the throne of his father David, but He's seated at the right hand of the heavenly Father, and He rules and reigns over the universe and over the church and over our lives. Circumstances may look bad today, and things may seem overwhelming to you where you are right now, but I've got good news for you. Jesus is on the throne, and He's in control, and He's ruling and will rule and reign until the last enemy, which is death, is put under His feet. Jesus is on the throne, and He's redeeming every incident. He's causing everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And so it may seem kind of dark and bleak to you today, but Jesus is on the throne, and through Him, the Bible says, we can reign in this life. We can reign over circumstances and trials. So as difficult as what you're going through is today right now, let me tell you, you are more than a conqueror. You can overcome. You can stay on top of this. It won't defeat you. It's not going to destroy you. You're going to come through this stronger. He'll cause us to triumph and to overcome. That's the good news of Christmas for us today. There is hope for today because Jesus is on the throne. And then there's more good news. There's hope for tomorrow, because Gabriel told Mary it wasn't just for today. He said, and He will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And of His kingdom, it'll never end. The good news gets better. Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne, and there'll be no end to His kingdom, to His rule, and His reign. Nobody's going to conquer Him. Nobody's going to dethrone Him. He's not going to resign. He's going to be there forever. It's forever. What a future. What a destiny. What a hope we have. We're part of an eternal kingdom. We're serving an eternal king whose power and authority will never diminish and whose rule and reign will never end. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because his kingdom and his reign will go right on through a billion, trillion tomorrows and beyond without end. And the fact that we're part of a kingdom that has no end is good news for all of us who have lost a loved one that's gone on to heaven. Because we can look ahead into the kingdom of tomorrow as we read the words of John, the beloved apostle. He said, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And when John asked the angel who these people were, the angel said, "These are the ones that have come out of all the tribulation and the trouble on the earth. They're the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're the ones that have gone before us, and they're before the throne of God." And then the angel said, "And never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He'll lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." No wonder we call it good news. There's hope for today, and there's hope for tomorrow and for eternity. We're part of a kingdom that will not end. Our loved ones that have died in Christ, they're part of that kingdom. Our future is there, where there'll be no more pain and no more death or dying or sad farewells. We'll be in the presence of God, united with all of God's saints, rejoicing around His throne where He rules and reigns forever. That's my tomorrow. Hallelujah. And if you know Jesus as Savior and Lord, friend, that's your tomorrow too. So we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow, nor do we have to be afraid of today. We have confidence in the Lord. Good news. God is at work today in the present as well as in our tomorrows. God is in control. Jesus is on the throne. Tomorrow's taken care of. We can rest in Him because all is well. I wrote those words and I work on Friday morning to get the sermon done, and then I work on it again Friday night and Saturday morning, and Saturday night I read it again, and Sunday morning I read it again and make final edits and things. And this morning I read those words and I sat there and thought, Phil, can you just hear your own sermon this morning? Will you just believe what you say, that God is at work in the present as well as in our tomorrows, that God is in control? And I'm thinking about, okay, how are we going to finance everything, and where's the money going to come from, Dale, and how are we going to get the parking lot done and all that stuff, and we need more money and all that, and thank God for everybody that's paid on their pledge, and if you need to get it paid before the end of the year, you got another few days, so hallelujah. But I'm looking at all that, and then I read those words again. God's in control. Jesus is on the throne. Tomorrow's taken care of. And rest in Him because all is well. And I got to know it. I got to know it before I can preach it. We don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. God's already got this. Tomorrow's taken care of. We can rest in Him. All is well. This Christmas, in spite of the circumstances that may be troubling you, there's plenty of good news. Good news, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Good news, you found favor with God. Good news, you have God-given, God-ordained purpose in your life and for your life. Good news, there's hope for you today because Jesus is on the throne. Things can be different because He's there. And good news, there's no end to His kingdom. Tomorrow is taken care of as well, and the future is secure in Him. Now that's the good news for us, and it's the good news that Mary heard from the angel. But then Mary asked what all of us are kind of wondering today. She asked this question: how will this be? I mean, how is this going to happen? Because it all sounds impossible. I mean, how can this be? It's too good to be true, isn't it? And we kind of respond to, you know, a sermon and, well, yeah, that's all fine and well for somebody, but it's not for me. I mean, there's never been good news for me. There's not good news for the likes of me. For someone like me, it's too late. I can't start over. I've tried. I can't be free from fear. I can't be free from addiction. I've tried before. I can't live a godly life. I can't find or fulfill God's purpose for me. I've already aborted those hopes and dreams. I had my three strikes and I'm out. I've already messed up my life beyond repair. I can't make a difference. I can't turn it around. God couldn't possibly use me for anything. I can't. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too cynical, or I'm too tired, or I'm too sick, or I'm disqualified. There's no place for me. It's hopeless. And we can go on and on with excuses. Notice Mary asked the angel how this could be. She said, since I'm a virgin. You see, we too can say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm a novice. I'm a beginner. I'm a child, a virgin, a teenager. I've never done this before. I've never tried this before. I don't have any experience. I don't have a resume. How could somebody like me possibly do something like that for God or for others? It's impossible. So how could it be? And here's what the angel told Mary. And we need to see this and get this morning as well. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. How's it going to happen? To Mary's totally appropriate question, the angel tells her, Mary, you won't be on your own in this. I know what I'm telling you is beyond what you can even imagine or dream. Can you imagine hearing that? The one that you're going to birth is the Son of the Most High. I mean, it was beyond what she could possibly understand. But here's what you need to know, Mary. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. God's going to do this through you and with you. It's more good news for us. You aren't in this alone. And it may sound impossible and improbable, but we're not on our own. God said He was going to work in us. The Holy Spirit was going to be with us. Does this sound familiar? Jesus told His disciples, and we too are His disciples, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. I think, really? Really? Seriously? If we have faith in Him, we can do what He's been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And my response to that is like Mary's. How can this be? We can't do greater works than Jesus. I mean, you want us to go into all the world and make disciples and lay hands on the sick and minister to the poor and the broken and the hurting and the dying? You want us to proclaim the gospel to everyone? We can't do that. We can't change the world alone. How can we do this? And Jesus says, I'm not asking you to do this alone. You won't be in this alone. He told His disciples, I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another counselor, a comforter, a helper, the Holy Spirit, and He'll be with you forever. And Jesus said, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Church, we're not alone. We're not on our own to do what He's put in our heart to do. It won't be just by you or your ability or your resources or your gifts. The prophet said, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. How are we going to do this? We'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what Jesus said. And then we can carry out His purposes. Then we can birth the dreams and the call of God on our lives. Then we'll be His witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'll be with you, He says, and I'll work through you, and I'll cause this to happen. There have been too many things that somebody said, I feel like God's saying this is what I'm supposed to do. And I've said, boy, that's great. Good luck with it. And I walked away shaking my head thinking, how in the world that guy will ever accomplish that? Boy, that it'll take a miracle. And then the next thing you know, they've got some ministry going on. And I think, well, boy, there you go for me, because I counted that guy out. And look what God's done through that guy, you know. And that's repeated. Oh, that's repeated for all of us. There had to be people going, I don't know how that Phil Taylor ever pulled that off. Well, it was just the Holy Spirit. It's just God's mercy and grace. He's at work and we don't have to do this all alone. Don't worry, Mary. It's not all up to you. It's not all up to you. The good news for Mary and all of us is the Holy Spirit is with us to comfort and lead and guide us, to teach and equip and empower us so we can live for Jesus today and tomorrow and every step of the way. Jesus is with us now. Emmanuel. Remember, that's His name. God with us. And Mary, while you're wondering how such marvelous things could actually happen, here's what the angel tells her. They're already happening. It's not just for some other day. The barren are no longer barren in some cases. So he says, your cousin Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. Things are already changing, Mary. See, not everything changed. Not every barren woman became pregnant and had a child in her old age in Mary's day or Elizabeth's day. But things had begun to change. And I realize we're living in a world where things are now and not yet. and not everybody's getting healed, and we're still having funerals, and bad things still happen to good people and God's people, and life's not fair. But a day's coming when all the injustice is going to be made right, and when everybody's going to be well, and there'll be no more sickness and no more sorrow, no more death and no more pain. But already, though we're waiting on that day to come in its fullness and everything to be complete, but already things are changing. And so the angel says to Mary, how can this be? It's miraculous. It'll be a miracle, but miracles are already happening. Something's already, I told you last week, an invasion began in Bethlehem, and we're part of an invasionary force and an occupying force, and we're taking light into the darkness, and already miracles are happening. Things are changing. And Elizabeth, who was barren, is already 6 months pregnant. How can this be, Mary? How can this be? Don't you know? And haven't you understood? Don't you know the good news of Christmas, Mary? The good news is the limits have been removed. And hear these words spoken by the angel to Mary. It still brings a message of good news to us today. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. It's the good news of Christmas. So hear what I'm telling you this morning. There are no closed doors with God. Nothing is too dark. Nothing is too weak. Nothing is too extensive. No one is too sinful. No one is too sick. No one is too depraved. No one is too forgotten. No one is too far gone. No one is too forsaken. Nothing is inoperable. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is improbable. Nothing is impregnable or unlikely with God. Good news, Mary. The Messiah has come through you and to you. God has become flesh and dwells among us, entering our lives and breaking into time so that the impossible becomes possible and the limits have been removed. And if you're feeling a little overwhelmed today because of the circumstances, maybe your circumstances feel impossible. Maybe somebody said it's inoperable or it's just not going to happen, or you've seen it happen over and over again. You're thinking, no, there's no way things are going to change. You look at your life and you've decided there's no hope and there's no future. It's just impossible. I've got good news for you today, because Jesus came now through Christ and by His Holy Spirit, according to the will and the word of the Father, all things are possible. It looks hopeless, but nothing's impossible with God. It looks bleak, but nothing's impossible with God. They said He couldn't change, but nothing's impossible with God. They said you were a hopeless case, but God says nothing is impossible with Him. From incorrigible to redeemed, from failure to success, with God all things are possible. Folks, there's good news this morning. Jesus has come, a Savior is born, a King is given, and because of that, nothing is impossible with Him. If you need some good news this morning, it's the good news of Christmas. You don't have to be afraid. Good news, you found favor with God. You found purpose in life. Good news, there's hope for you today. Good news, there's hope for tomorrow. Good news, you're not in this alone. Good news, the limits have been removed from your life. If you need good news this morning, would you just stand to your feet right now? You need some good news, then you need to hear about it. Stand this morning. I tell you what, all of you stand, because I'm going to suggest something else. I know it's kind of late, but I tell you what, if you need a miracle this morning, if somewhere along the line you've heard that it just couldn't be, you're facing something that's impossible, I want you to just slip out and come and stand here at the front. I want us to pray together this morning. There's something you're facing. It's an impossibility unless God steps in and makes the difference. Come on. Come on right now. I'm standing down here, but I need to be up here for the moment. But come join me. Come join me. People on dialysis, you need good news, don't you? We got a little bit of good news. We could use some more. People that the doctor said, well, I don't think it's likely that this is going to turn around. I've got good news for you this morning. There's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with Him. Come on, yeah, come on up here and make room so they can get down the aisle. Somebody, we were praying for folks this morning, and as I was praying for someone, she said, is dementia too far? Can God do something about it? Yeah, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible with Him. Well, I've prayed about it before and nothing's happened. You know what? If you read the first part of the first chapter of Luke there earlier in the chapter, that's where Zechariah has gone in to minister in the temple and an angel shows up. And you remember what the angel said? Zechariah, the Lord has answered your prayer. And Zechariah, no doubt, said, "And which prayer would that be? Because I prayed more than one." And the angel said, "The one about Elizabeth having a baby. She's going to have a baby." And it doesn't record this, but I think Zechariah said, "Well, we quit praying that about 40 years ago. We gave up on that a long time ago because we're old people. We're beyond the childbearing age. We hadn't even been praying that prayer." And God said, "Well, it was going to be extraordinary, but now's the answer. Now's the time God's answered that prayer." I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to happen today for you or it's going to happen down the road somewhere. I just know God's faithful and He's good, and I know He answers prayer, and I believe He can do it today. Would you stretch your hand towards our friends? I don't know that I could get out among you, but just stretch your hands toward them today. Let's pray together this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of these friends who stand here today, who just by walking down here are saying, "I need a miracle. I've got to have something that it won't come any other way." And maybe a doctor has said, "Look, there's nothing else we can do. There's no surgery to fix that. It won't do any good. There's nothing that can change that." Maybe it wasn't a doctor. Maybe it was an attorney. Maybe it was a banker. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe somebody just spoke something over them, a teacher or somebody in their past that said, "Well, you might as well give up because that's never going to change." Maybe you just decided that somebody was too far gone and beyond hope. Maybe that your circumstances were beyond the reach of God's mercy or grace, or your family member was beyond His help today. But I'm here to tell you there's good news. The limits have been removed. Nothing is too difficult for God. The impossible becomes possible because of Jesus and what He's done. And Father, we declare it today over all these that stand here at the front. I believe You for a miracle. I believe You for healing. I believe You for provision. I believe You to open the doors that have been slammed in their face. I believe You, Lord, for provision, for a job, for income, for security to come for them, for peace to come in their minds. I come against depression and despair that clouds them, for grief that's suffocating them today. Lift it from them today and let them experience the liberation of Your grace and of Your mercy. Oh God, let victory flow into their hearts and minds today. Let that heaviness lift and let the joy of the Lord be their strength, Lord. Let healing flow into bodies that are broken and worn out from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Let bones knit back together and come into alignment. Let kidney disease be gone, Lord. Let diabetes be gone. Let arthritis be broken, the shackles of it broken. Let despair lift today as You bring healing, Lord. Give a clear mind. Oh God, restore a sound mind, a sound body. Let heart and lungs, liver and kidneys be restored to health. Lord, come and do what only You can do today by the power of Your Word and by Your Spirit, Lord. Not by might, but by My Spirit, Lord. That's how this is going to work. Not us, not our ability, but by Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, we bless You today. We believe You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord is renovating some hearts today. Some memories that have haunted you for years. I'm taking those away today and pouring in oil and wine for the healing of your soul, where you can be productive in the work of God. But you, after this day, as you stood in My holy presence at this Christmas season, your life will never be the same the once you surrender to the Lord of glory. So lay your life bare at the feet of Jesus, and you will find there will be light in the pathway, and the darkness will be diminished. For He is the King of glory.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we claim that word this morning for hearts and lives standing here today, Lord, that we surrender it to You. And things that have been messed up for so long, Lord, You're going to start ordering things, putting our lives back in order. We can surrender to You, Lord, and You put our lives back in order. And we'll testify God did this. We'll testify that God did this as we surrender to You, Lord. We'll testify, God, You did this. You made us whole when there was just brokenness. You did this, Lord, when nobody else could help us, when there was no answer to be found anywhere else. You did this, Lord. Oh, God, come lavish your grace upon us. Show us mercy, Lord. Do in us what only you can do, Lord. Mary said, according to your word, I'm your servant. Let it be according to your word, Lord. That's what we say to you today. According to your word, let it be in all of us, Lord. Let it be in all of us. Lord, I speak this morning. There's somebody that you've let some of those dreams that God put in your heart. Some of you prayed it as a child at an altar. You prayed it at a youth camp or a kids camp. You prayed and you surrendered something to Jesus. You told Him that you would work for Him. You felt a call on your life to work with children, to work with youth. You had a purpose. You knew it. And then everything got sidetracked. You veered off and you walked away from that calling. You walked away from purpose, found yourself in some other places. And God's speaking to you this morning. You thought you had abandoned it and you thought God had abandoned you. You thought, well, He's probably forgotten and He couldn't use me now. I've messed up too many scars. And I'm telling you that God's bringing back to life some things that He put in your heart. It's been a long pregnancy, but I'm telling you, He still wants to birth in you the calling and the purpose and the plan of God. He still has a purpose. It may not be exactly the way you saw it when you were a 9-year-old praying at that altar or a 15-year-old. But I'm telling you, God still has a plan and a purpose. He has a call. He has something for you. And if you will obey Him, if you'll obey Him and step out, God's got something good. There will be delight. That's the word I hear. He will delight in you. There will be delight that will come into your life. It'll be joy because you'll see God fulfilling something from a long time ago. He's going to fulfill His promise to you. And you're going to be more fulfilled than you ever thought you could be. It's right for it to happen at this time, this season. So you surrender it to the Lord. Whoever you are, and there's more than one person, God speaking to your heart today. Lord, I pray you just bring to life that calling. Birth in them again, Lord, the plan and the purpose, the good call of God in their heart and in their life. Lord, I bless you today. I thank you for your call and your blessing, your mercy and your grace upon us today. Can we just sing, "Oh, come, let us adore Him"? Let's just lift our voice to the Lord this morning.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Just give Him praise this morning. Oh, Lord, we bless your name.
Let us adore you. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ.
For He alone is worthy. Let's sing that.
For He alone is worthy. For He alone.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving for what He's accomplished this morning in hearts and lives. Hallelujah. We're just going to stay surrendered to Him. Amen. Walk in obedience to Him and just watch and see what God wants to birth in and through us. Good news, good news, good news. Christ is born and He's with us today. May God's grace and mercy and peace rest upon you. Have a glorious rest of your day. And we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock to see those babies up here singing.